Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the kingdom of God. Do you know what the kingdom of God is? Would you know it if you saw it? Because you're supposed to be seeking it. And if you don't know what it looks like, you may walk right by it and not even know you passed it by or it passed you by. There are churches on every corner of in every town in America. Churches, 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 all over the place. Are they his church, or are they just the churches established by men? Are they ordained of God, or are they ordained of men? Are they full of men of faith, or just men who believe? And believe in what? We started this series unintentionally on the rock. And I'm going to ask you and challenge you and question you and even chastise and rebuke you, do you believe in the rock? Are you building your relationship with God on a proper foundation? Is it on an intellectual foundation? Is it on an emotional foundation? Is it on a spiritual foundation? Jesus was talking in to the apostles and ask the question, who am I, who am I, who am I? This is a question that has daunted and plagued and confused man from the beginning. Who is God? I am that I am. Who is your God? There are gods many. Is it not written in your law that there are also gods, that ye are gods? That's what Jesus states. So what is this thing, God? Do you believe in him? Who is the God that you really believe in? I mean, lots of people say they believe in Jesus, but is it the same Jesus? I have a neighbor near here. His name is Jesus, but that's not the Jesus I believe in. He's a nice guy, but that isn't the real Jesus. And so it's kind of up to us to find out what the real Jesus is, and I believe there's a lot of opinions out there as to who Jesus is that aren't even close. And this is not a new problem. It was a problem with the Pharisees. The Pharisees had the Torah. They were strict constructionists of the Torah and what it meant. And they even stoned people if they thought it meant something different than what they thought it meant. They were very authoritarian in their imposition of their ideology upon other people. There was quite a variety of ideologies floating around in Judea at the time of Christ. The Pharisees had theirs, and there were many sects of the Pharisees. Sadducees had theirs, which was, you know, almost completely different. Zealots and many other groups were formed, the Essenes. They all had a different opinion as to who God was, who was right, who was wrong. Well, many of us today believe that Jesus Christ was right, and the apostles followed Jesus Christ, and they wrote down things that ended up in a book that we call the Bible. And that's kind of a core book to many people and the quest for true faith under God. But there's a lot of different interpretations. Did you ever realize that every interpretation of the Bible by men is a private interpretation, and the scriptures are not given to private interpretation? So I don't care if you've got 10 letters after your name or none, or you wear sackcloth in the desert. Whatever you think the Bible is telling you, that's still a private interpretation. That's your private interpretation. And if you gather together in groups of tens or hundreds or thousands or gigantic mega churches and you express your opinion of what you believe the Bible is saying up there in the pulpit, that's still a private interpretation. It isn't, the kingdom of God is not a democracy. The kingdom of God is the kingdom of God, and God interprets the Bible. So how do you know what the Bible means? Lots of study. Study. Study to show thyself approved. Actually, the word there for study in the Greek is not the word for study. It's never translated study anywhere else in the Bible. It's actually the word for diligent. But scholars put the word study there because they thought studying was really important, because that's what's important to scholars, because scholars have spent their lives studying. So what's really important to knowing what the Bible really says? How do we know that our interpretation is not merely our private interpretation, but the interpretation that God puts on? I've told people and my kids for years and that I have an opinion, you have an opinion, but God's opinion is reality. What God believes is reality. It exists. It is what it is. And there is no other opinion that can overrule it, because God's opinion is not a private opinion. God's opinion is reality. I could be wrong. You could be wrong. We could all be wrong. But God is not wrong. Now, if you don't believe in God, you know, I can't help you. I mean, I don't know where to go from there. If you don't believe in a divine creator, if you believe that we just came from primordial slime by coincidence, have at it. If that is what you think is true, then so be it. But that's not what I think is true. I believe there's a divine creator. I believe that his nature is found in everything. I believe that he has a purpose. I believe that he's benevolent. I believe that he is just. I believe that he is righteous. And I believe that we should be seeking that righteousness. I believe we were made in his image, but I believe that we've been remade in another image that is not him. And our thinking has been twisted and we are under a strong delusion. And, you know, I believe a lot of these things. You don't have to believe me. That isn't the point. I'm not trying to get you to believe in me. I'm not trying to get you to join his holy church. I would like to see you seek the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God. I would like to see you belong to God. I don't want you to believe me. I want you to believe God. Well, how do you know what God is saying? Read the Bible? Great. Lots of people read the Bible. Do they know God just because they read the Bible? No. How do they know? This is the question that Jesus asked the apostles. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Well, what do you mean, he was reincarnated? Well, actually, at that time, most Jews believed in reincarnation. In early church, most Christians believed in reincarnation. That fell out of favor, certainly during the Inquisition, but they believed in reincarnation. Is that true? I don't know. It's not important to me. What's important is, what is the will of the Father for me to do today? I can do something about that. The rest of the stuff I'll ask God when I see him. It may be a curiosity, but why would I hinge my faith on such philosophies? Do I believe in a heaven and hell? I believe that there's a heaven and hell right here on this earth. The heaven is just behind the veil, and hell is just behind the other veil. And you're not that far from either one all the time. But you have a choice. I believe you have a choice to go one way or the other. I don't believe it's a choice in your head. Now, you don't have to believe any of that. That's not what I'm about to get you to follow my philosophy. I'm working out my salvation with fear and trembling just like you. I cannot impose my faith upon you. It's not your faith. You have to find out what you believe. And he, Jesus, saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? An important question. It's way down in Matthew 16:15. It's not asked all the time, but it is asked. But what was it? Why was it asked? Was it important to get the right answer? I mean, we've got a cheat sheet now. We can look it up in the Bible. We don't have to get the answer the way Simon got the answer. And it says, and Simon, who was not called Peter yet, answered and said, thou art the Christ, the anointed, the Messiah, the one who's going to be king, the Son of the living God. Now, all Judeans thought they were sons of God. That was common in their literature to refer to themselves as sons of God. And all the other people out there were the errant sons of God, the ones that had gone off and not followed God. But they had followed God because they read the Torah, and they got all the information straight from Moses. And Moses was sent by God, and they were God's chosen people, and therefore they were the sons of God. They all thought they were sons of God. But the Son of God would be the Messiah. The highest son of David would be the Messiah, the king, the righteous king of peace. And Jesus answered to Simon when Simon had said that you are the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed, the highest son of David, the Son of God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, because that was his name, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Blessed are you because you got the right answer? Or blessed are you because of the way in which you got the right answer? Because his Father revealed it to him. It wasn't Simon's intellectual private interpretation. It was the revelation by the Spirit of God. This is why Simon was blessed. This is why Simon was called the Rock. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Is that building the church upon Simon? Or upon that rock that is not flesh and blood? That rock, which is divine revelation. Mary Hutchinson was hung by the pilgrims because she believed that you could be divinely inspired by God, have a direct communion with the Holy Spirit. Not a hierarchy. Everybody has that access. That is the rock. Now, you know, rock, scissor, paper. What are we dealing with? Is the Bible a gift from God? Yes. Is the Bible authors inspired by God when they wrote the Bible? Yes. Were all the translators out there in the world inspired by God? No. Which ones were inspired? The ones working for King James, the ones, Tyndale, we're all inspired a little bit here and there by God. But the Bible is not perfect because language is not perfect. But the Bible is a gift, and it is a checklist of things that we should be looking at to find out, are we really listening to God's spirit or some other spirit? Are we divinely inspired by the Creator? Or are we misinspired by other spirits and other people. People say, oh, well, you know, we'd be all over the place if we depended upon the Holy Spirit. Because how do you know it's the Holy Spirit? Well, you do have the Bible. And the fact is your fruits will bear you out. When Macbeth listened to the spirits that guided him, it led to his destruction. And what's happened today is in the modern church, they're not listening to the Spirit of Jesus Christ. They're not listening to the Holy Spirit. They wouldn't be under such a strong delusion. It is a strong delusion. They wouldn't have delivered the entire world into the bondage of Egypt. They have their Torah, they have their Bible, they have their eschatologies, they have their theologians, they have their catechisms, they have their words lined up, but their heart and soul is not lined up with God. Or they would know that thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods. I mean, that's in the book. But some or other, it's okay to covet your neighbor's goods to benefactors who exercise authority today in almost every church out there. But they got their creeds, they got their eschatologies, and they have delivered the whole world into bondage. And that world is decaying and collapsing and declining around you. It is in debt, which the Bible talks about not being in, up to your gazoos. Your children are in debt with little or no hope of ever getting out of it. You are surrounded by selfish people, orcs and goblins, who would eat you up, who would care not for your cries when you are in your day of reckoning. And the problem is, because you have turned away from the ways of God, he will not hear you either. He doesn't care about your endless prayers and recitations of creeds and gospels. If you're not doers of the word, how many times did Jesus say, not those who say, Lord, Lord, but those who are doers of the word? He who is my brother, my mother, my family are the doers of the word. But their churches are not doing the word. Oh, they sing. Hallelujah, they sing. They praise God, but they are workers of iniquity because they have delivered the whole world back into the bondage of Egypt, which God himself said in their very Bible, never return to again. So why are we there? What is going on? We got the words right, but we don't have the heart right. And if we don't have the heart right, how can God write upon it? This was a problem with the Israelites. Their hearts were harder than the stone the Ten Commandments were written on. If God was writing on your heart, do you think you would be in bondage again? Now, some of you are waking up to this reality, that you've gone back to the bondage, you have rejected God, you have elected Sauls in every country of the world, and some of those Sauls are Rehoboams. None of them are Davids. And what are you going to do about it? You need to be still and know God himself in your heart and in your mind. In order to do that, you need to start seeking the kingdom in every aspect of your life. And a good place to start is in the social welfare systems that you've created. You have to stop looking and praying at that table. You may still have to pay into it, but you need to start setting the table of the Lord. That means coming together in congregations of faith, trusting in God. That's what we've had to do out here in the wilderness. We are dependent upon God. We are excluded at every corner by the world because we are separate from the world. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. We are not applying for the benefits of the world. We are dependent upon God. And how does God act and work in the kingdom? Through you. Our needs, your needs, are our opportunities and your opportunities to seek the kingdom. Because sacrifice is still required. Not the sacrifice of the Pharisees, but the true Corban of God, which means sacrifice. The Corban of the Pharisees was done away with. But the Corban of the Pharisees made the word of God to none effect. But the sacrifice of God, it's still there, still required that you give up your life that ye may have life more abundant. That's sacrifice. How do you give up your life? You give it up a little at a time. You give it up for those in need. And who is more in need than the people who have not yet heard the gospel because their churches are preaching damnable heresies with a form of godliness but denying the power thereof? We were contending with an agency of the world that says that the church has to register with the state now, or they'll cut us off. We won't be able to use that aspect and services in the world anymore. But that's just one more step. Soon they will go to food rationing, gas rationing. You think we're going to get ration tickets from the world? We're separate from the world. Are we ready? No. Are you ready? No. You're not even slightly ready. I don't care how prepared you are not ready for what is coming. None of you are. Unless you are rooted completely, day by day, moment by moment, in that Holy Spirit. Because that Holy Spirit will not only tell you who Jesus Christ is, that Holy Spirit will tell you whether to step out the door, flee to Egypt, whatever it is that you will need to do. Run for the bomb shelter or stay right where you are. Stomp on the brakes or just keep on driving. How do you know what to do if you do not have the Holy Spirit to guide you? You will not. And the Holy Spirit will guide you in everything, but it will not drag you into the kingdom. You have to start setting down the ways of the world and taking up the ways of the kingdom. You have to start being the government of the people, for the people, and by the people, according to the leading of the Holy Spirit in your own hearts. This institution that is barring us from using their services now because we won't register with the government, they say we need to register with the proper jurisdiction. They don't know what that is. They won't tell us what that is, state, county, federal. The proper jurisdiction that the church should be registered with is the people who are seeking the kingdom of God. It's the testimony of the people that say that we're a church, not the testimony of governments of the world. We are a government. We're the government of Christ. And you know that we're the government of Christ because we are doing what Christ said. And you know all those other churches out there are not the government of Christ because they've gone to the world. Yeah, that's a big thing. Oh, you've incorporated. Oh, you filed a 1023 and become 501c3 under the IRS. Oh, you're not a church because you've done that. True. Body of Christ versus body of state, part of the last chapter of the book Covenants of the Gods explains that. But even if you don't incorporate or file that paper, doesn't make you the church established by Jesus Christ. Have you come to set the people free? Have you come to rebuke the sinner? Have you come to wash the feet of those who want to put their feet to the ways of Christ and the ways of God and His kingdom? You need to start to gather together. And that's not easy. Oh, because this guy's got a little bit different idea than you, you're not going to associate with. Does he have the weightier matters as important in his life? Does he love God and love his neighbor as himself? And we've got people on the network that believe that Jesus Christ is a fictional character, but yet they've signed up for his holy church. A network, what is that? Well, they've just come to cause dissension. You know, they've got their own personal eschatology. Oh, they got a lot of good points, I'm sure. A lot of people got some good points. But this is what we're seeking, and there's a very detailed explanation of this in the books, we're seeking the kingdom of God, which was appointed by Christ. It belonged to Christ. He appointed a kingdom, a portion of that authority of the kingdom of God, to his apostles, and they went out and preached that kingdom was at hand. They worked daily in the temple. They went from house to house, not only dividing the word, but also the bread. They set up institutions according to the Spirit of God that could help take care of the daily ministration, because everybody who got the baptism of Jesus Christ could no longer collect the Social Security offered by the Pharisees, because they were cast out of that system. Are you ready to be cast out of that system? No. I don't care how independent you think you are. You are not ready to be cast out of that system. God is ready, but are you really walking day by day according to the Holy Spirit? Moment by moment according to the Holy Spirit? Are you knowing what to do by the revelation of God in your hearts and in your minds? Or are you knowing what to do because you're really smart? You're really clever. You figured it out. If you think the latter, you better think again, because there's a lot coming. So anyway, this we're going to be talking about this rock, this inner knowing that God is going to be building his church on. And to the intellectual man, the hardest thing to hearing the Spirit and living in the Spirit and in the calmness and beauty of the Spirit is that damnable intellect. It constantly gets in the way. Now, God put the tree of knowledge in the garden. That's your intellect. He also put another tree in there, the tree of life. And that's where you connect with the Holy Spirit, this divine revelation. You need the tree of knowledge there. It's a tool. If you look at the word in Hebrew for tree, it was something you made things out of. And that tree of knowledge is important as a tool, but it's not a source. The source of your guidance must be the Holy Spirit. And that is what God will build his church on. That is what God has built his kingdom on from the beginning. It's those men who were divinely inspired to build the arks, to flee when disaster was coming, to speak the truth, to stand against the lions and kings of the world. This was the revelation of the Spirit living in them, because they had come into conformity with the Holy Spirit, enough so that they could hear it and be guided. And certainly that guidance may be to lesser or greater degrees in different men, but it's a journey. There's no end to it. If God gives you something to do and you do it, he will give you more to do later on. That's the way it works. If he gives you something to do and you don't do it, and why don't you do it? Vanity? Pride? Sloth? If you don't do it, then he will take that talent away and give it to another. So let's start doing the will of God. I'll see you on LibertyRadioLive.com in a few minutes, and we'll talk more about the rock. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.